afternoon and welcome to Let's Talk Certification. It's a live recording of a podcast program hosted by the American Institute of Building Design. I want to thank you in advance for listening to this podcast. The American Institute of Building Design is a nonprofit professional association building a better residential design profession one designer at a time. The Certified Professional Building Designer, or CPBD, is a benchmark certification that defines competence, recognizes competency, shows commitment to the profession, and helps with career advancement. Suppose you're a building designer interested in earning your CPBD designation or wanting to get some excellent career advice. In that case, this is the podcast for you. You're in the right place. I'm Steve Mickley, IBD's Chief Staff Officer. I'm also a licensed building contractor, and I've maintained my CPBD designation now for 24 years. And joining us behind the scenes is our producer, Garrett Mickley, my number one son also. It's him who orchestrates all of the Institute's presence on the internet. It's also him that will be managing your questions. As you think of them, go ahead and throw the questions in the question box. If you're using the desktop version of GoToWebinar, you can ask your questions by expanding the question area, which is positioned in your attendee control panel, and then you type your questions right inside the chat part of the box. If you're using the instant join viewer version of GoToWebinar, click the question mark that's in the control panel to ask your question. Garrett will be weaving those in when I stop to take a breath and to ask for questions. Like I say, as you think of them and they're on your mind, go ahead and type those questions in. We'll get them answered as quickly as possible. And if you're like most of the people who are going to be listening to this, you are listening to the recorded version of the podcast. A lot of information about the CPBD program for you can be found by downloading the candidate handbook at aibd.org/certification. aibd.org/certification. But you can also ask questions by emailing certification@aibd.org. Or you can also call 800-366-2423. And by the way, the 2423 spells AIBD. That would be 800-366-AIBD. And choose extension number 2. That takes you to Rusty Hudnett, our certification director. The CPBD exam is delivered virtually, and you can take the test anywhere, almost anytime, on almost any day with any device that connects you to the internet. And when I wrote this script, that was true, but I have since learned that it's not. I found out that tablets are not able to be used with our proctoring service, ProctorU. I don't know if it's always been that way. I don't think it has. I think that's something new because of the lockdown and the pandemic. A lot more companies are using virtual proctoring instead of live testing centers. It could be a function of the security levels that have been increased in virtual proctoring that's made it to where the tablets just haven't caught up yet. For right now, desktop computers, laptops, not tablets, not mobile phones. But we'll talk about that more down the road. In this podcast, what I want to talk about is a couple new opportunities that designers have for preparing themselves to take the CPBD exam. But before I do that, I'm excited to tell you about a recent discovery, khanacademy.org. That's K-H-A-N, academy.org. Not a sponsor, by the way. Khan Academy offers free online courses, lessons, and practice tests or practice workbooks, is a better term. Having been a building designer for 30 plus years, what I found very helpful on this website was the ability to refresh my knowledge and skills in algebra, trigonometry, and calculus. There's all kinds of other educational opportunities for you at khanacademy.org also, but I believe that having a good understanding of math and geometry is critical in architecture. khanacademy.org can help. It's free, but when you solve a complicated problem for your client using their survey and trigonometry, or when you design the most complicated roof you've ever designed, or when you pass the CPBD exam, Khan Academy will gladly accept your donations as a thank you. You can also pick up tips like this one that I just gave you every week by subscribing to my personal email, 4xFriday. It's AIBD 4X Friday. Every Friday, I send out an exclusive email with four of the coolest things that I've either found, learned, or experienced over the last 7 days. The content includes new products, some ideas, tips, articles, things that I'm using, hacks and tricks, maybe even some weird stuff, because every now and then I dig up some along the way. I used to do it more when I traveled a lot, but that's kind of been curbed to almost a complete halt lately. Anyway, that's 4x Friday. The 4x is the pronunciation of the sizes of lumber and the way that's phrased. AIBD.org/4xFriday. Go there and sign up. Now, on to today's topic, how to get prepared for the CPBD exam. The first of two announcements that I have is that we are launching a new webpage, AIBD.org/buildingdesignerbooks. With a hyphen between building, designer, and books. It's AIBD.org/building-designer-books. The candidate handbook contains a bibliography. The bibliography is a list of books that were used to confirm that our item writers wrote questions that are correct. And more importantly, the bibliography was used to make sure that the answers to those questions are also correct. The resource list is not a requirement. You don't have to have these books. There are dozens, maybe even hundreds of books written that answer the same questions in the same way. Eventually, the Building Designer Books webpage will grow to include as many books as we can fit, or it'll be like a plethora of books. But for now, we're focused on just getting to you easy access to what's in the bibliography, hoping that'll be helpful. Our A team has conveniently arranged all of the most recent editions of those books, and they may not all be there, but we're working on it. And we want it to be just one handy dandy location. It's AIBD.org/building-designer-books. Those dashes are hyphens between building, designer, and books. Now, not to mention, these are pretty good books, even if you're not preparing for the CPBD exam. This is where we hope to make an awesome resource for you as a building designer to be able to get access to very cool books. You'll also notice when you go to the page that there are a section underneath of the reference materials that is a section that I've added that are the books that I reference in my 4xFriday email too. It's going to be a work in progress. We hope to continually be adding, and hopefully you guys let us know what you're reading so that we can make sure that the rest of the industry has access to the same books that you're using as well. The immediate goal, though, is to make it easy for you to prepare for the CPBD exam. I think of it like my bike racing, which I hope to be doing in a couple days in a Florida State Championship over in St. Pete. Cycling is one of those things that the faster you go, the more resistance you actually create for yourself. There's also more resistance caused by nature and physics, but as a cyclist, I invest in lighter and more aerodynamic equipment and position myself in the most aerodynamic position as I can. No details overlooked. Even the tiny little brake pads on my bike have been stealthily hidden inside the wheel forks to lower down even that little bit of wind resistance. It's also like Garrett's approach to our email communications, our e-newsletter, and our website design, a process that he learned, or at least he has shared with me, from a book called Don't Make Me Think. It's the goal that we have to getting you from point A to point B as quickly as possible and with the less resistance as possible. Hopefully, Building Designer Books webpage has done the same or will do the same for you. And also, the second item that I'm about to announce, but of course, you don't have to purchase these books from us. I have to mention that. These are just multiple references on the same topic. There are numerous outlets out there that you can create your library or duplicate our bibliography using. In fact, you'll find a statement somewhere on the webpage that lets you know that AIBD is an Amazon associate, which means we earn a commission from each of your purchases if they're qualifying as an associate. Like I always say, without margin, there's no mission. If you choose to purchase books from AIBD/Building Designer Books, you'll be supporting an organization that's working to help you at the same time. Anyway, when you get there, you'll find a photo of the book cover, a short description of the title, and possibly some short quotes pulled from reviews of the book. Every click leads you to Amazon with options for purchasing. Some of them may be used, some of them new, and in some cases, you might even be able to rent the book. That was something that I learned when we were developing the CPBD exam and we were getting resources for our item writers. For many of our item writers, we didn't buy the books. We rented them, which was cool because it caused them to have a deadline to finish their task. They had to send the books back. It was a month, maybe two, and instead of purchasing them out, the books arrived. We used them for what we needed to use them for. They came with a shipping label. We popped them back in UPS and sent them off. Again, though, that's something that you might not want to do because you might find out that it's a really cool resource and there might have been an option to actually purchase the book at the end of the rental. I don't remember. And I don't think that option was available 100% all the time for every book either. But just let you know, that option may be out there. Take a look for it. At this point, any questions has come in, Garrett, about Designer Books webpage, the bibliography, or anything we've talked about so far?
No.
Cool.
There is questions, but let's hold off until we're in that area. Richard, I see you. We'll get to the answer, but not yet.
All right. Sounds good. Well, we're either waiting for you to type your questions in. Let me remind you of another tool for preparing for the AIBD exam. And this opportunity exists or has existed for a year or more, and it's with Ron Blank and Associates. They call it AIBD by Division. Blank & Associates is an AIBD CE provider who makes it incredibly easy for you to get continuing education or prepare for your CPBD exam. They've organized their library of their complimentary pre-recorded webinars in a way that aligns with the CPBD test content, which is derived by performing an industry-wide job analysis that AIBD did in 2015. You can find this in the Candidate Handbook. I think it starts on page 39, but all the information is broken down in what's called knowledge domains. And in the Candidate Handbook, it even includes the weights of the content, meaning how many questions are in each of the different domain divisions. There's 147 knowledge statements classified within four domains: business administration, business practices, design process, and building design. The last one, building design, is the most massive weighted one with 111 knowledge statements and 60% of all the test questions. It's also the section that Ron Blank and Associates has the most courses for. All you have to do is a Google search for the phrase AIBD courses by division, and you'll find the links to both ronblank.com and greence.com. Or you can go to ronblank.com, click on the online courses tab, and I'm using online courses with air quotes. And in the center of the screen, you click a tab titled by AIBD division. And you'll find there on their webpage the list of all the courses, and they'll correspond with the different knowledge areas in our job analysis. And why is that important? It's because you're going to start doing a practice exam. Or if you happen to take the exam and you don't pass it, you're going to get your score broken down in both cases by those divisions. You can tell right away where you're strong at and where you need to put together a little bit of a study strategy. That's it. I just unveiled the big unveiling without the drum roll, but we have launched. It is active now, the CPBD practice test. People ask for it. Rusty, our certification director, kept pounding on me saying, when are we going to get a practice test? People need to be comfortable. They need to test their computer systems. They need to see what it's going to be like. And now you can do that. They say that practice is perfect. You've heard that, right? Practice makes perfect. I'm here to tell you that's bull hockey. Practice makes permanent. At least that's what I was taught by a baseball coach, Bob Shaw. He was a 10-year major league pitcher, all-star, and an author. He ended up being a businessman in the Jupiter area. I ended up playing for him in American Legion baseball in twice in like a local traveling all-star team that I played on. If you want to check him out, just do a Google search for Bob Shaw Baseball and he'll pop up. But he taught me that practice does not make perfect, it makes permanent. He had a lot of other colorful sayings too, but that's the one that I can repeat today. If you practice it wrong, you're always going to do it wrong. We've tried to create a way that makes it to where you can easily do it right from the beginning. And then when the day comes that you're going to become a CPBD, boom, it happens without second thought. It happens without stress. It happens with as little effort as we can make possible. It's like when I used to skydive. I remember sitting in the airplane on the way to altitude. In my mind, I would be like going through the motions that if the parachute didn't open, where are my D-rings? How do I cut those away? Where's my ripcord for the reserve parachute? I'm going through this in my mind hundreds and hundreds of times, literally hundreds of times. I made the hundreds of jumps, 52 in one day. But I was ready so that if something happened, I could just kick right in with the reaction right away. And by having this practice exam, we're hoping to be able to create that same scenario for you. We're dealing with the internet here. We're dealing with technical equipment. We're dealing with things that require electric power. Stuff is going to happen. It could happen. And we want you to be prepared, not only for the questions, but almost every scenario. And not like we've built in an automatic power failure, but that's a good idea. I didn't really think of it until now. But anyway, let me move on about the details. We can get cute with very complicated illustrations when we get to the questions. But the CPBD practice test goal is to give you an accurate representation of what you're going to experience while taking the actual CPBD exam. But there's going to be two small differences. The first difference is you won't have a proctor. We require that there be a live proctor, and we use ProctorU, and in the candidate handbook, there's instructions, as well as once you become a candidate, Rusty sends you written instructions on how to set up your ProctorU account and how to schedule your CPBD exam through ProctorU, and then there's steps that they will send you once you register with them that teaches you what to prepare for the day of the event. But for here, you're going to be able to take the exam anytime, 24/7, you don't have to worry about scheduling a proctor, but you're also not going to have somebody to help you unless it happens to be business hours. And in the instruction page of the practice test, it'll give you the information that you need to be able to contact us if during Monday through Friday, 8 to 6 or 8 to 5 maybe, whether or not you have problems and whether or not you'll be able to get help right away. The other difference is that it's not 3 hours long, the practice test. The real test is. The practice test is only 1 hour. The CPBD exam to become certified has 175 questions, and the practice test has 58 questions. Both provide you the exact same 62 seconds per question to answer. It's just a smaller scale model, so to speak. Although it's one-third in length, the composition of the questions that are included in the practice exam, which are totally separate, you will not see a practice question on the CPBD exam or vice versa. But the composition of how they're arranged and the topics that they're on is identical. For example, I mentioned those four different knowledge areas or knowledge domains. Business administration, 10% of the questions come from that domain, or in the case of the practice exam, six questions. Business practices, also 10%, also six questions. Design processes, 20% of the questions on the practice exam, or 12 questions. And finally, building design. Remember I said that was the heaviest weighted domain with 60%. The practice exam will have 34 questions. In business administration, the type of topics that you get questioned on are going to be ethics, licensure, insurance, employment law, accounting, and marketing. In business practices, the kind of questions you get are going to be about project management, programming, and due diligence, which is fancy words, I think, for scheduling and communications, and also contracts. In the design process domain, the questions are going to be about the concept development of your project, about the construction document development of a project, and about the contract completion of a project. And then finally, building design, 60% of the weight, 34 questions in the practice exam. I don't know what that equates to in the real exam, 60% of 175, whatever that turns out to be. Your questions are going to be on building planning, site design, foundations, concrete, masonry, framing systems, thermal and moisture protection, MEP, which is mechanical, electrical, and plumbing, of course, building science, sustainability, and domestic architecture, which for those of you that have been around for a while, it used to be a section called historic architecture. Not necessarily historic anymore, I guess the questions. It's about domestic or American architecture. Those are what the makeup of the questions are. And like I say, it's the exact same proportions, the exact same compilation. The questions will be random. It's not like you'll go through business questions and then design questions and then building questions. They get randomized, and there is a bigger pool of questions than 58 in the practice exams. If you take the practice test more than once, there's a good chance that you'll see some fresh questions that you didn't see before. There's also a good possibility that the practice test items, even though they're not identical to or the same test questions that are on the CPBD exam, they were probably written by the same people, though, which means that there's going to be some consistency from one or the other in the form of the question and the way they're presented, which makes the practice test even more valuable to you. It was created using leftover items from when we developed the CPBD exam. I remember, anyway, growing up, there was these Saturday morning cartoons called Schoolhouse Rock. And there was one where this little boy says, "Whew, you sure got to climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building here in Washington. But I wonder, who is that sad little scrap of paper?" And then that sad little scrap of paper jumps up and starts singing, "I'm a bill. It's a long wait till I'm sitting in committee, but I know I'll be a law someday. And my singing sucks, I know." But he goes on to say, "At least I hope and pray that I will, but today I'm still just a bill." That's how a bunch of our questions were, just sitting around in this database of items that we had, technically called an item pool. When we developed the CPBD exam, we had over 600 items back in 2018. 225 of those were used for a standard setting process, which is how we created our cut score. And it was also a way to pretest the questions. It was narrowed down out of the 225 to 175 that you now see on the current CPBD exam. I don't know exactly how many there are. There's like over 100 to 140 of those leftover questions that have now been developed for the practice exam. And when you take the practice test, it pulls from those 100 plus questions to create the 58 that you practice with each time you practice. But also, in addition to that, we are adding 25 new items or questions to our CPBD exam going forward. And as those are added, there are questions that are removed to be replaced with. And in order to do that, we need to write 50 to 75 new questions a year. Right now, I'm planting the seed that if you want to volunteer to become an item writer, that door is going to be open like very quickly. Just throw it in the question box if you want to right now, and we'll make a note of it so that we can contact you after the podcast. We need to put together a team every year that writes 50 to 75 questions that can go through the process and get narrowed down to the new 25 questions that we put on the CPBD exam every year. And then when we replace those test items, those questions come off the exam and will become practice test items so that we never have to write a practice test item again. Those in the future that do the practice test will just be taking questions or using questions that were old CPBD exam questions. I know that sounds a little complicated. Hopefully it made sense. I should have probably written out the explanation a little better. But here's what happens to the life of an item. Kind of like that bill that climbs all those steps on Capitol Hill. There's a lot of steps that are involved in a CPBD exam question. Here's how it starts. A psychometrician first measures the validity, the reliability, and the fairness of the question. A psychometrician also is an integral part of the process of creating an exam that's valid and has reliable test language. Now, remember I told you these questions and the practice tests were probably, there's a good chance anyway, were written by the same people who wrote the questions in the actual tests. There's probably a consistency already there. But we have professionals that ensure that continues. When I say it's reliable, it means that every time you take that practice test or every person that takes the actual exam, it looks the same, it feels the same, it communicates the same, and people can react similarly every time they take it. We've had professionals that have looked at the questions, they've gone through the vetting process. Then what they do is they go through another vetting process that's made up by a group of subject matter experts. The subject matter experts, they're also referred to as SMEs or sometimes pronounced as SMEs. Those people gather and look at every single item. They're asked questions. Is this still relevant to your business? And the subject matter experts are you, by the way. It's people in the design industry. It's consumers of the design, your design process, not necessarily meaning homeowner type consumers, but the designs that you create are being consumed by building officials, by plumbers, by electricians, by building contractors, by product manufacturers. We try to draw from as many different diverse backgrounds as we can to make sure that the questions are relevant. And it also gives us the ability to determine their, a level of difficulty, so that when questions are replaced on the test or when we created the practice test, we're using the same level of difficulty as what you'll experience in the real test, so that it is a life-size, a scaled down, I should say, example of what you're going to experience. The only difference between the practice test at this point of the development is that if a question was going to go on to be a real test item on the CPBD exam that you get certified using, they go on as a pretest question. That's the 25 I was looking for volunteers to help us start writing in the future. When they go on, there's like this 25-75 rule that after they've performed for a while, the psychometricians will then review the results of how that question performed. If a lot of people get it wrong, it gets flagged. If a lot of people get it right, it gets flagged. And it doesn't mean that it's not a good question. It could be that a lot of people get it wrong, but then the subject matter experts look at it and say, that's a very important item in our industry. They should know that. So the question still goes through and becomes a test item, but it's given a very high level of difficulty. That's how the test was developed and where the questions come from in both cases. Garrett, was there any questions that you've gotten so far that are relevant to where, how far we've gone?
Nope, not yet.
Excellent. So LBD's invested over $100,000 in both the CPBD exam and the practice test. Many of you have contributed your time, money, and knowledge as subject matter experts, possibly. The questions are identical, like I said, but they're also delivered identically, and that's using a platform, test.com, owned by a company named Gauge. You'll see that when you log into test.com. First, you have to submit your certification application. It needs to be approved. And then our A-team, Rusty, our certification director I mentioned before, will set you up in your test.com account. He'll send you your username and password. It is possible for you to do that yourself in advance. And it's not a big deal if it happens. Rusty checks to see if there's any duplicates before he sets up a second account for you. But I mention this because the practice test is only going to be available to those people who are approved candidates. You can start your application online at aibd.org/certification. You don't have to pay for your application until you're done filling out the full form and you've uploaded all your support documents. That's when you hit the submit button and you're asked for a $100 application fee. That $100 application fee includes the staff time involved in verifying and approving your application, but it also includes up to five attempts for your practice test. But you have to be a candidate. We don't sell this outside of people being candidates. That's the only way to see it, the only way to experience it. When you get your test.com or your Gauge personal account set up, which, by the way, you can get to it at aibd.org/test login. The CPBD candidate handbook uses another link, which also works, cpbd.info/test login. But both of them are the ways we're going to be getting the candidate handbook as quickly as possible updated to include these instructions that I'm giving on the practice test, so that anybody that unfortunately wasn't able to get onto this podcast or won't be finding it as a recording will still learn about the practice test. If you're already a candidate and you already have your test.com login information, you may not actually be seeing the test because there's something that we need to do in the background. There are a lot of candidates that are already in the system, and since finishing this and launching it as quickly as possible, Rusty has been working diligently to go through the list of candidates and making sure that they've gone in, he's gone in and turned on the CPBD practice test as something that you can see when you log in to your test.com account. It has to be done at our end. It's not something you can do. And if you go in and you don't see it, then you want to just either email certification@aibd.org or use that 800 number, 366-2423, press extension 2, contact Rusty during working hours, because either maybe your candidacy in the CPBD program has expired, or possibly Rusty just happened to overlook your name when he was going through the list of people turning him on, or possibly I'm ahead of the curve with this podcast and we're letting you know this faster than Rusty can get everybody caught up. There'll be a little bit of a transition time. Just let you know, if you get to the end of this podcast, you go online, don't panic. We'll work on it with you. I've read all of Malcolm Gladwell's books, at least the ones that I'm aware of anyway. And I think it was the book Tipping Point that I read about his 10,000 hour rule, where it takes 10,000 hours to become an expert of something, of anything in the field that you're doing the 10,000 hours of. So our practice test is only 1 hour, and I don't think that you're going to need to do it 10,000 times to get a high score. But we've invested in it in hopes that completing it a few times can help you achieve better results. And I've laid out my suggested strategy. Here it is. Once you're approved, take the practice test immediately. This sets a benchmark. It's challenging to know what you don't know. By taking the test right away, you'll identify the gaps. That's where the practice comes in. You'll get a score immediately at the end. You'll get to see the questions. The scores are supposed to be given to you in the form of those four different knowledge domains so that you can go in and see where you need to study. You also get a sense of timing. Given that 3-hour exam is a marathon length, I know that not everybody's used to sitting at the computer, not going to the bathroom, not leaving your seat for 3 hours. It's also easy for you to lose track of time, and all of a sudden the time runs out and you've still got questions to answer. Using the practice test as an ability for you to pace is going to be a part of your strategy as well. Take it immediately. Find out what that benchmark is that you're trying to beat. Who knows? Maybe you'll pass it or get a score that's equivalent to a passing score the first time. But continue to use it a second time to get a sense of that pacing. 62 seconds per question is what it averages out to. Some are going to be faster to answer. Some may take longer because it'll take a little research. I remember when I took the builder's exam in Florida, the first question was a question on payroll. I hate payroll. And it had like a guy that was divorced and had to pay alimony and another one that had to pay child support or something. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to take me hours. I turned the exam over and opened up the back page, looked at the very last question, and it was like a rectangular roof, and they asked me what the area of plywood would be. That took me like 2 seconds. You're going to want to use the practice test to learn how to evaluate the question and to decide, is this something I can handle right now or something that I can put off till later?
The practice test gives you, and the real test gives you, the ability to bookmark questions. It gives you the ability to skip questions. You're going to want to take your time the second time, learn that pacing, learn the functions. You're going to be able to start and stop the practice test. That doesn't happen in the real exam, but it will happen for you in the practice test. Now, when you stop it, you've got 10 days to start it again, or your practice test that is incomplete just evaporates. It does not count against your 5 attempts. You have to actually complete it for it to count as one of the 5 attempts. Whatever you've done up to that point is going to get lost, and you have to start over again, which is fine if that's your goal. I'm just letting you know that you can stop it, but it doesn't sit there forever. It moves on without you. Again, get accustomed to judging the questions. You're going to be able to skip them. You're going to be able to bookmark them. And then you want to be able to learn how to navigate coming back to those, making sure that you don't miss any skipped items. So you'll get used to reading the screen that shows you what's been answered, what hasn't been answered. You're going to see the screen that gets you used to what's been bookmarked and how to unbookmark it. That's the second time. First time, set your benchmark. Second time is a study tool. And when I say start and stop it, and I mentioned not coming back for 10 days, that's how you stopped it, because I got to go home for the day, or a meeting can't all of a sudden start it, or something like that. But what I'm saying too is realize that you can stop and start. If a question's really difficult, stop the test. Figure out why it's difficult. Learn where you can find the answer and in which resource, and highlight the book, or put notes in the margin, put notes in the glossary, put notes in the inside cover. You can't bring written notes to the exam with you. In the candidate handbook, there's a list of what you can and can't bring, but you can write, you can highlight, you tab your books. As you're going through, this may be a great opportunity to do those functions. You're going to want to stop the exam and start it again, go to the next section. Then, after you've done all that, you take the practice test a third time and measure results. At this time, then, no stopping, no restarting. You start, you finish, check your progress based on the first time you took the test, and then you have two more opportunities to take the test on top of that as a cushion. I'm gambling on the premise that those three attempts is going to be what you need, and many of you may not even need all three. Again, I want to highlight the quirks of the testing platform that you're going to come across and want to learn about, and that's bookmarking, skipping questions, knowing the format inside and out. Not only helps you with speed, it helps you feel more comfortable. The more comfortable you feel, the less stress you're going to be, and the less stress you're going to be, the more you're going to look forward to this, and the more you're going to be excited about starting the exam instead of just being excited when you've finished and you've passed. And it also helps you to create your own personal strategy. This is what I'm envisioning. I haven't taken a test in, gosh, I don't know how many years. It's been a long time since I've taken the CPBD exam, and I took my builder's exam before that. I'm counting on you guys to be my guests on this podcast in the future so that we can discuss what you learned by taking the practice test and how you applied it to the real CPBD exam when you became certified. That's what I'm excited about. Oh, in all likelihood, there's a lot that could be riding on the results of your tests. Perhaps you're working in one of those private communities in Texas or Florida. I think maybe possibly California, where there's architectural review committees. And those architectural review committees, or ARCs, require that either you be licensed or certified in order to submit plans to the ARC. Regardless of what the reasons are that you're taking the CPBD exam, we understand that tension is probably running high for you. And one way to ensure maximum comfort and minimal anxiety is to practice. The more often you sit for this practice test, the more natural it'll feel the day of the actual test. You have enough to think about that day, such as technology. The average start time for CPBD exams between 20 and 21 minutes is what Proctor U tells us. So the reason why it takes that long is we got to validate who you are, first of all. So you'll know, you'll read along, or if you may already know that you have to have a photo ID. But also, you've got to test the equipment. So this gives you the opportunity to do that in advance. And I'm hoping to see that 20 to 21 minute average start time start to reduce over time. So the test may look or present differently if you're on a Mac versus a PC. So with a practice test, any incompatibilities can be found. You can practice with both. You can find out which one may or may not be better. Theoretically, you would think it would be identical. I don't know. I'm a PC guy. I've never done the test.com with a Mac. But also, it's probably a good idea that whatever system you use to practice on, that's the same system you use to go in and take the actual exam. When I'm racing my bike, I train with the one that I'm going to race on. I have different wheels for training, wheels that purposely make me work harder. And theoretically, the ones I put on the bike for race day make me go faster. It could all be in my head. I don't know. But we want to make sure that what you're moving into is exactly what you've practiced on so that we mitigate as many surprises as possible on the real exam day. Now, the one thing that won't get practiced is the use of your webcam, because you don't have a proctor when you're taking a practice test. When you use ProctorU, they require that you have a webcam and a microphone. And when you set up your account with ProctorU, and I don't remember the URL off the top of my head. I think I do, but I don't want to say it wrong. It's in the candidate handbook. But when you set up your account with ProctorU, they have a compatibility section, which is found on their main portal page. So you log in, you land on the main portal page, you scroll all the way down to the bottom, or I think there might be tabs in the upper right, and it's going to say compatibility. In the compatibility section, you can look for a minimum requirements link. There's a long checklist of items that you can use to verify if the computer you're using, if the bandwidth you and your internet has is acceptable, everything that you need to test your equipment. There's also a browser compatibility check. You press that button, it goes online. You got to be online to do it. ProctorU goes online. They immediately come back with a report that tells you whether or not your compatibility is good and what needs to be improved, if it needs to be improved. So hopefully the recent pandemic and the associated lockdowns have caused you to get a webcam, because like Zoom meetings are just like the normal right now. So hopefully that's not an issue. Regardless, once you're approved as a candidate, you'll be sent the instructions to set up and test your ProctorU account connections. Another helpful tool that ProctorU has is called a readiness guide link, and then also a test equipment link. So be sure and use all the resources that ProctorU has. Schedule yourself enough time, not only for the practice exam, but to practice signing on to ProctorU. I think this is a good spot to jump in any question. We got about 15 minutes left. Garrett, what do you got?
Yeah, for both the practice test and the actual exam, do you still allow scratch paper? Some of the online proctoring rules have changed for other tests since all the COVID stuff.
That's a great question. We do allow scratch paper because there's going to be some questions that involve math. There's only certain calculators that can be used. You'll have to go into the candidate handbook and read that list. I think that once you get into ProctorU, they also have a link that tells you what's acceptable, but I'm not sure about that. But yes, at the end of your test, when you have a live proctor watching you, they're going to ask to see you destroy the scratch paper that's been written on at the end of the test. But yes, you can have it. What you can't have is like a ring binder of handwritten notes. You can't go online. You can have any book that you want as long as it's professionally bound. And there are some exceptions for three ring binders. For example, the building codes come in a three ring binder, printed ones anyway. So those are allowed. And there might be a couple others that I'm forgetting. But again, that's spelled out in the candidate handbook. But yes, scratch paper, you're going to want to have some of that with you, some pre-sharpened pencils with very good erasers, or a very good eraser, one or the other.
All right. And just to reiterate, the books have to be physical in your hand books, not ebooks, and professionally bound, like the actual books when you buy them from the store.
That's correct. When ProctorU sets you up, they're going to lock you down into the screen that opens up your test. In order to keep everything secure, for two reasons. One, to make sure you're not cheating, but number two, to make sure that somebody's not stealing the exam, particularly you, but I don't want to make any accusations there. So you get locked down. So unfortunately, right now, being able to use like a mobile device or anything like that to get online as a secondary access point is not acceptable. The only thing is real, honest to goodness, resource books that you grab off your library when they are off your shelves in the library when the contractor calls and asks you a code question. Although, as I was saying that, I realize a lot of people probably look that stuff up online now.
Right. Well, you had mentioned bathroom breaks. What was the policy on bathroom breaks?
There is none. There is a policy. There are no bathroom breaks. It's 3 hours. So that might be a different kind of training program for you, other than you're not going to be able to leave the screen for 3 hours. Two, if you like have conditions where you're going to need to eat, you're going to want to have snacks nearby. Anything that you're going to need to have, you're going to want to have it arm's length away. Your proctor will ask you to move the webcam around, and they will inspect your work area before and after you've taken the exam.
Dennis asked, the jurisdiction I am designing in is currently on the IRC 2015. What code does the test reference?
You'd have to look in the bibliography. I think it's the 2015. It may be to the 2012, but you know what? They just adopted the 2021. I think it's in print now too. Although nobody may have actually, no jurisdictions may have actually adopted it. The IRC adopted it and they have it in publication. I think that there's maybe only a handful that now have started adopting the 2018. The questions are based on a certain year and that year is published in the candidate handbook. So you're definitely going to want to look for that. But it doesn't mean that the other code books aren't correct either. We don't go through and cross-reference them from year to year. But if you have access to someone else's, like for example, every time they produce a digital copy of the new handbook, like just recently they produced the 2021 edition, you can buy a copy that is redlined that actually shows you the changes, which is cool.
How many states recognize the CPPD designation? Do we have a list they can reference? And also, what is the AIBD doing to get non-participating states on board to recognize our program?
Every state recognizes us, but the CPPD certification is not a licensure. The only thing that a state can govern is either a title or licensure. And some states, architecture is a title. In other states, it's licensure. And AIBD has absolutely no plan to approach either one at this point. The amount of money and man hours that it would take are enormous. And right now, it's our goal to build a better design profession, one designer at a time instead of one state at a time. And so by doing that, we're thinking about you, and all of our money is being invested in educational programs, accreditation programs, and the ability for you to be able to present yourself as a professional. And with that said, it's not to say that we're not trying to prepare ourselves for the event that all of a sudden some state, which in the next 30 to 60 days, many states will be starting, if not every state, their legislative sessions. Those usually run from like February through March or April. And it's a very busy time for me because we're constantly watching the bills that are being submitted and flagging the ones that look like they may affect our ability to practice without licensure. And so when that happens, we want to be in the position that we can step in and defend the way the law is written today, or be in the position that we can be the ones to offer the ability to at least test the candidates for licensure using the CPPD exam. In that process, we started in July 7th, I think it was, of 2020. We started the process of getting ANSI accreditation. It's really not formally called ANSI anymore. It's called ANAB, A-N-A-B. It stands for the ANSI National Accreditation Board. It's owned by ANSI, obviously. But we just I think it was November 16th, got to the point where we've gone through all the preliminary applications, we've gone through all the preliminary reviews, we've paid all of our application fees, and on November 16th, I think it was, we formally got the application document, and we're now in the process of filling that out. But it could be another 6 month to a year process to actually complete all the items that they have. Basically, what they're doing is we've committed to operating the certification program based on certain international standards. ANSI goes through and assesses to make sure that our policies, number one, meet the standards. And if they don't, we have to fill those gaps. And then number two, they come back then and assess us to make sure that we're following our own policies. So that's the position we're trying to put ourselves in, to have a program that can be credible, that we can go to a state licensure or legislator when the time comes and say, hey, not even the other certifications in the construction industry have gone this far to validate their testing procedures. And hopefully that's what we need to be in the position to step up. But we are not actively pursuing licensure. I'm sorry, Garrett, let me interrupt you, but for that list that you're talking about, there are no states that recognize the CPBD, because if they did, it would have to be a licensure. But there are private communities. There are what some people refer to as deed restricted communities, gated communities, golf course communities that have architectural guidelines that you have to meet in order to construct a home or remodel a home in that community. And if you write info@AIBD.org or certification@AIBD.org and ask for the list of communities that you have to be a CPBD to submit plans to the ARB or ARC, then Rusty has that list. There's a couple cities too that have expedited permitting opportunities for people who are either licensed or CPBDs. I think Austin is one of them. Kansas City used to be one, but Rusty has that list. Unfortunately, we don't publish that on our website. We'll have to work on that.
When they take the exam, they get the results immediately, right?
In both the practice and in the actual exam, yeah. When you hit the submit button, within seconds, how well you did. In the practice exam, you'll know within seconds how well you did in each of the different four divisions. In the actual CPBD exam, it's a little more complicated. And if you don't pass... And by the way, I don't think you're told a percentage. The international standards don't let us tell a percentage, I think. You're just told whether you pass or fail. And all you want to do is see the sign pass. Who cares? It's not a competition. It's a certification. So, but if you didn't pass, it takes about one working day, 24 hours if you happen to take the exam. Say if you're taking the exam right now, by this time tomorrow, Rusty will have downloaded your results and categorized them by knowledge area and sent you an email that shows you what areas you did well in and which areas you didn't.
That's all we got for questions. Also, my headset is dying.
Oh, I'll go ahead and wrap up then. The last bit of advice I have for you is do not plan an all-nighter the night before the exam. Get your application in, get approved, take your practice test the first time, start building your study strategy. Studies consistently show that studying in short, regular bursts helps you retain more information than if you just did a large marathon session. I remember when I took my contractor's exam and my CPBD exam, the night before I tested, I checked into a hotel as soon as I could. I had a relaxing dinner, probably a drink, and I went to bed early. Now, you don't have to travel anymore. You don't have to go to a testing center. You could be just moving from where you are now into your living room. But whatever it is, take a breath the day before. If you're into meditation, do a meditation session before. And I believe that if you don't know it by now, meaning like at the last minute, you're not going to learn it in the last minute. The CPBD exam can be rescheduled. I don't think Proctor U charges anything for that. There may be a certain lead time that you have to reschedule it using, and that's going to be in the candidate handbook. But if you're still feeling a little stressed out, look at the calendar, see if you've got time, and go ahead and reschedule that exam. Remember, tests are rarely just a chance to quiz you on your knowledge. They're also an indicator of how well you perform under pressure. And in our case, the test is actually to see how well you look things up, particularly in the building code situation, because we all know that even though the IRC is a national or international code by name, every local jurisdiction seems to tweak it a little bit. And we're going to test you on the national code, but it's really what we're testing you on is the procedure to be able to find the answer in that code. So once you've done it in the IRC, you can find it in the NFPA. You can find it in any local code that you have to navigate through. So that's what the test is about. And you're going to be practicing your skills as a test taker, not just memorizing knowledge as you do this. So we hope that we've created a practice test that provides you confidence, helps you to be stress-free when it gets to the final day. We want you to rest easy knowing that you've put in hard work. And of course, practice exams are just one tool in the toolbox of study strategies. Still, they are incredibly effective in reducing stress, that we think anyways. We hope to hear from you once you've gone through it. Regardless of how you prepare for the big exam, a practice run or two can help you in more ways than you might expect. In addition to getting a good night's sleep and eating a healthy breakfast before the actual test, taking a practice test is a great way to diversify your study strategy and ensure the best possible results for the real thing. Again, if you have any questions, we've run out of time today, but you want to write certification@aibd.org or call 800-366-2423, and either wait for the menu or just go ahead and press extension 2. But do we have time for some quick announcements? Garrett, everybody go to aibd.org/awards before you go and check out the Building Design Awards. We're collecting entries on commercial projects between now and, I think, January 12th. Also, mark the dates down. February 25th and 26th is AIBD's next Design and Build conference. You can attend both personally in Houston, or you can attend virtually on Hopin. Finally, if you're an AIBD member and you don't know about the Compass Club recruiting program, keep an eye on the Monday Minute and your inbox. There's going to be a lot of useful information sent out explaining what the Compass Club program is. It's a recruitment program like the Spike Club, if you're familiar with NAHB. And in January, we're going to announce some new member incentives that will help make it easier for you to recruit new members and become a member of the Compass Club, or if you're already a member of the Compass Club, help you level up.
The reason you want to be in the Compass Club is two things. One, you can get free membership, and two, you get invited to our super secret parties.
Absolutely. Everybody loves a party, and we're going to celebrate when you become a CPBD, so let us know. All right. Again, enjoy the rest of your day, and thanks for listening to the whole podcast.
Hi, everybody.